Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
I'm a man who believed that I died 20 years ago, and I live like a man who is dead already. I have no fear whatsoever of anybody or anything.
Gary Webb. I am an investigative journalist, and in 1996, I wrote a series of stories entitled Dark Alliance, which was about CIA involvement in drug trafficking.
Are you a man who once said death smiles at us all? All a man can do is smile back.
We've all been skull and bone, the secret society.
It's so sick that we can't talk about it.
What does that mean for America? The conspiracy theorists are going to go on.
I'm sure they are. I don't know. I haven't seen the rest.
Number 322?
I sad duty to report this afternoon that my friend and colleague, Tim Russert, collapsed and died early this afternoon.
I may die in this cell tonight or in the arena tomorrow. I am a slave. What possible difference can I make?
And no official of my administration, whether his rank is high or low, civilian or military, should interpret my words here tonight as an excuse to censor the news, to stifle dissent, to cover up our mistakes, or to withhold from the press and the public the facts they deserve to know.
What the fuck is up? Welcome to another episode of Are You Dead? Your favorite live call-in conspiracy parapolitical variety show. Crazy, crazy, crazy week.
My God.
We did have to prepare
crazy
content.
2 weeks. I mean, this is fucking nuts, dude. And by the way, we might as well plug, like, is Biden already dead? You know what I mean? Like,
oh, I see what you did there.
Right? Honestly, though, what's your opinion? I'm curious.
The more this goes on, the more I dig myself into a schizo hole and convince myself it's literally all just Masonic theater. Trump, they faked the fake assassination. then on top of that, then they also, they killed Biden. So it's just all, everyone's in on it. It's just all theater.
I love it, dude. I love it.
I so like cool. Imagining that like, is that even possible? Because it feels, all of this feels like hell. We had the assassination attempt, and then shortly after we had that like server attack thing. Attack. It was some sort of bug, and I don't know shit about tech stuff, but like from perusing into it, it seemed there were some reliable people that said this was some sort of feature that was cooked into whatever fucking system, which is a big system. I think it was Windows. I guess almost implying that this was something that reminds me of old Maxwell was dicking with.
Oh, dude. Promise.
It makes... No, not... The Ghislaine Maxwell's dad.
Robert. Yeah, the Promise Software. Thomas.
Promise. Okay. Yeah, it makes me think of that because I know there, that is a thing. A lot of these, like, a lot of these different, you know, I'm fucking such a tech retard, so I'm not going to use the right words. But a lot of these things like Windows and like Linux and all the different fucking operating systems, a lot of them have like cooked in things already. And like, I mean, there's, I don't know, I've gone on some minor dives on like, Fed fuckery when it comes to that stuff and how they have their own little things in there, and it seems like it may have been something like that, but I don't fucking know. So,
well, it does really seem like the Peter Thiel new right is sort of, which basically it does seem like the PayPal mafia, the Elon Musk vein of tech savvy individuals who are, you know, billionaires on the scene and clearly they're definitely steering politics in many ways, right? And I think that when you've done enough research on like the totalitarian technocracy and like kind of the future that is waiting in the wings, right, it's right around the corner. And Whitney Webb's done a lot of phenomenal work on covering much of this, but and even David Icke's done a lot of great stuff just talking about how a lot of these different companies like Peter Thiel's company and all of this are 100% like going to, like we're going to, it's very quickly, before we even know it, we'll be in digital gulags. And if we aren't already, you know, at this point, which honestly, it's getting very close. And especially when we have these echo chambers, brother, you know, it's like my algorithm is very interesting. You know what I'm saying? But it certainly isn't the average person's algorithm, I would imagine, right? And so it's just, it's the, honestly, that's what I think the J.D. Vance pick is about. It's it's further infiltrating the new right into the political panopticon that will become the totalitarian technocracy, the technocratic state. And, you know, it's unfortunate, but that is 100% what is happening. And when you see things like this, that's a test run. And especially when you have individuals at like the WEF, right? Like Klaus Schwab, who's like threatening us, all of global society, with like the next pandemic will make COVID pale in comparison, he says. And he says it will be a cyber pandemic, right?
Yeah.
And you know, all they'll have to do is ratchet up tensions with whatever country, Russia usually works, then all you have to do is utilize that propaganda. People are already eager to just spoon feed, eat that up, right? They're just, it falls into their lap as far as the, just the narrative, right? It's so plausible for them because their ideology has them so blinded to any other potential reality. Right. So,
Nimrod points out that this feels like, I mean, I have a few different, like, I mean, assuming this, all these servers going down, which I wasn't affected. I don't know if you were affected in any way. I remember my wife.
No, my wife was at work, but I wasn't affected.
It was like a work computers. So my wife's work's computers were having issues as well. But I mean, this coming off the heels of the assassination attempt, this did feel like, he says he thinks they were destroying and planting evidence, but it's also like, was this just like they were already planning on going with it? Because I mean, you saw, you remember that movie? I forget what it's called. I believe it was like produced by Obama or some bullshit. It was the one on Netflix.
That was such, so political too. Yeah, I forgot what the hell it was called. It was,
I don't even know, but it was like just the whole propaganda. The premise is like the whole grid went down and like what happens.
Yeah, man.
And then all these servers go down and people start freaking out. And so it's like, I don't know, maybe it was like the original intent was to maybe assuming that this was, you know, that Trump didn't stage this or the deep state didn't stage it, but like an actual was an assassination attempt by the deep state. Like, was the plan then to go dark and then allow, and then you could play off? Because, I mean, hell, we had the post fact. Well, they never really straight up said that it was Iran that was connected, but they said, oh, we heard murmurs of like an assassination of wanting to kill, like Iran wanted to do it. But then we're like, but we don't know it's connected. We're just throwing that out there. And you're like, okay, sure. But so they already had that. So like, was that like the plan to them? Like when he died, then, you know, fucking they go dark for a while. It comes back. Oh, you know, then they get to have this big swan event where the president gets taken down and Iran, you know, took down our servers or some shit. Mm-hmm. And in that period of time, Biden, you know, the, his fucking CGI clock or AI clock, you know, fuck he is. And then, you know, Kamala gets to rush in. Like, was that the original movie we were supposed to see? Because this all feels like theater. I don't know. Oh, I mean, it's fun to theorize. Yeah. This just
no, I love it, dude.
Reality's too fanciful right now. It's just fucking ridiculous. Yep. Like,
well, and we've talked about it before, man, as far as when this alleged cyber pandemic would take place, they would basically have this internet 2.0 or ready and waiting to go. And instantly, right, it would be some form of a complete KYC verification in order to even access the internet in general. And so that's another thing that Whitney's talked about. I know, what's his name? Ryan Christian, I think, from The Last American Vagabond. He's great. He actually ran, him and Whitney both, published an article recently, but I did see his report on that day. It was like later that day, that same day that the CrowdStrike thing happened, because I can't remember any details, but I've read about CrowdStrike often. And so it's definitely in that same vein of the Peter Thiel New
like
Right.
I've heard that before. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I don't pay attention to tech stuff, but I pay attention to parapolitics, and I feel like this has come up once or twice.
I think when I covered DARPA, you know, because so much of like the LifeLog project and Google in general, the search engines that have always been available to us were designed by the military. You know what I mean? It's like just a reality. It was all for military applications. And then they figured, oh, here's a domestic use for it. That's what it was. And so if people need to realize that in the first place, it was never intended to provide us with free information, right? Then vital information, you know, on top of that. Really, it's more of a tool and a weapon for them to, you know, feed us disinformation and things of that nature. I mean, honestly, how you have to just be skeptical as hell to even kind of have your head on your shoulders a little bit, you know, at this point, because of how much we're flooded with all this different information, you know, and man, how much we're just gaslighted all the time about, right, about these delusional conspiracy theories that inevitably end up to be at least in the vein of reality, much more than the official narrative.
Which, side note, isn't it just amazing that, like, I know I've seen the left and the right freaking out about, like, oh, well, the right thinks this crazy conspiracy thing, like, in regards to the current happenings. And then they'll be like, well, the left thinks this, say, for example, like, the state, you know, Trump staging themselves. But at the same time, I've noticed so much more people are way more comfortable just going there. And I'm here for it. Like, I just feel 100%. Like this pushed the Overton window. And if anything, I'm more like, you know what, righties, stop being faggots. When the left's like, maybe he did. Instead, be like, you know what, maybe he did. He is like, you know, like, I don't know. It's funny because it's like almost like a horseshoe theory thing, because it's like a lot of lefties will think it was staged, but it's just like cope for them. And they're like, no, I hate them both. Like, I think if anything, it's because he's Israel's trying to make them their Moshiach or something, you know?
No doubt in my mind, dude. And by the way, you just mentioned it. Did you see that Atlantic article where they ran an article saying in the last 3 months the word faggot has been tweeted like 2 million times or something?
Yeah, that's old. That's like an old.
I know. I just thought it was hilarious.
Yeah.
That's so fucking funny. But
yeah. No, hey, by the way, people out there who think that you can just say that now on Twitter. No, that's like, I feel like it's like if you're over like, I don't know, 10, 15, 20K followers and pay for your check mark. Because I did just recently call someone a faggot and they flagged it. I called someone a faggot for being one of the Tattletale peoples. Because like it was like an admittedly an awful person. and like that they were videoing, and then they like tagged the libs of TikTok bitch. It was some lady, you know, screaming about how much she hates Trump and wish he died or whatever. Blah blah. Yeah, she was like, don't be wrong, she's awful. Yeah, I'd never want to hang out with her. But like they fucking, she was someone said, oh, this person, you know, bitched at me or whatever. Look at all the awful things she has to say, and then tagged libs of TikTok. And anyone who knows libs of TikTok, that's as good as saying, hey, bitch, can you dox her?
Yeah.
I was like, you're a whole ass faggot. Just letting you guys know, it's not just the check mark. It's like, it's more elite than that. I haven't gotten to the faggot levels on Twitter. So,
damn it. I thought we were there, man.
Yeah. Not quite. I got fag flag. That's what somebody said in the Rumble chat.
That's great.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. No, yet. This is, I just pulled up Ryan's article from The Last American Vagabond because I was curious what it did, what the headline was, because it's hilarious. We were just talking about this, but,
you can share the screen if you want to the bottom.
Yeah, I should, but yeah. I don't even know. I haven't done it before.
Well, you go to share screen, and then when you click it, a few options will come up, and then I think, let me see. I'll try it. So I'll walk you through it. I can do a share screen. I'll do it with my Kamala one right now. And then when I click share screen, it brings up, I'm assuming you're using Chrome, and it'll say Chrome tab. This is great, guys. I'm walking them through it. And they'll say, I just clicked Top Lobster X right here. And this is a video I have prepared for you guys later. talking to AI Joe.
That's great. Oh my God.
Haven't even gotten to there yet, which is,
we do have to cover that.
We'll get there. Okay, you want to bring up the Vagabond guys? I don't know if you want to try or you can just read it, whatever.
Yeah, I'm just going to read the headline anyway, but I do need to pull this shit up. But so it says, with CrowdStrike in the news due to the global outages, remember that it's a part of the Global Cyber Alliance and part of the World Economic Forum-led effort to force you to adopt digital identification for internet access. It's like 100%, right? This is something that's been written about for a long time now, honestly, man. And it's pretty amazing when you read through what DARPA has been doing. You know, like, honestly, man, like, what they're capable of and what they have been up to. It's a little concerning. And oh yeah, did you see Sam tweeted, like, I don't know, yesterday or something? I saw him tweet something about this Hamas video warning for a possible attack at the Paris 2024 Olympics, right? And so and it looks straight up like some ISIS shit from back in the day when the CIA is just like straight up using like this British PR company to create ISIS propaganda videos, you know. And it's like, it looked so much like that. But anyway, I'm just like, it caught my eye because I am kind of like, it's kind of shocking that we haven't seen another event that's been like largely blamed on the Palestinians, you know, just for propaganda reasons alone. You know what I mean? Like I'm not, you know.
I think it's just not believable. Like, it's
dude, it's absolutely not. You're right. You're totally right.
That's why they have to go Iran. And you're like, but even that, you're like,
eh. It's so ridiculous.
Real quick, let's do a little, someone brought it up on here. I guess this gives us a chance to bring up some announcements. Did you create your YouTube? Yes, we're no longer streaming to the Tower Gang YouTube. Austin did make his new YouTube. That motherfucker, you went and you fucking, I was blown away. I figured just do what I did every time I adopted a new platform and just was lazy and didn't fucking put any of the old shit up. You went into your whole fucking library and just dropped him in there one, but I'm like, geez, that's a nightmare on YouTube. So now when you're like, oh, I'm getting to it, I'm like, Jesus Christ, you must have like good internet or something, because like, fuck, dude,
it was a nightmare. It took me like 2 days, bro. Like, it was crazy, man. Honestly, it really did. It was nuts,
something. But yes, you have it up. Yep.
Yeah, I'm excited. Honestly, it's about time. It took up more time than I had initially planned creating that, because that's mostly why I spent so much time on this last solo project, dude, I don't think I did anything else for the past 3 days almost. Like, it's kind of insane, but yeah. But
shocker, guys, Austin went down another pedophile fucking rabbit hole.
It's fucking insane, man.
Yeah. Like, real quick before we move on past so guys, go subscribe to Austin's the Underclass is what it is.
The Underclass podcast, yeah.
Yep. And that way, because if we can get him, I don't remember what you have to get to be monetized. I think it's like 1,000 subs, but I believe in you guys. You guys can do it. I might be wrong. Maybe it's less than that, but I would like to get to the point where Austin's monetized, and then we can start getting super chats, because I got demonetized on my channel a long time ago. But I don't know. Then again, Austin will probably get demonetized as well, so I don't know. Whatever.
I certainly haven't been self-censoring at all, so we'll see what happens.
No, I mean, I don't know. Maybe. We'll see. You literally have a Pizzagate episode there, so I don't know. That might get flagged. Which, I mean, I loved. I loved a great episode, but so far as YouTube censorship. I think I got.
Yeah, dude. I think my JFK episode is blocked in 3 countries, dude.
Oh, hell yeah.
I swear to God, that was the first thing that it told me. It was YouTube hit me up. It was
it's always
like
Germany. It's always
yeah. Dude, like, what the fuck? Yeah. I'm just saying, it was kind of insane. And then, Pizzagate, but none of them have gotten any strikes or anything, so that's cool. But yeah.
One more announcement. Big thanks, a send off to Adam, our producer. His life schedule changed. I'm not going to give specifics because, I mean, that'd be weird. He's not able to make Tuesday nights anymore. So with that, if there's anyone out there who's interested in producing, let us know. Just someone to hang out in the back, bring up stuff, bring up chats, just things along those lines, hang out. Maybe we'll let you pop in occasionally here and there just to talk. There you go. I see you. Yeah, if you're thinking about it, fucking do it. You're always in the chat. And especially if someone with any sort of technical know-how, because I've been meaning for a while. I think I know a way, but I got to spend money on it to do it, and it's quite a bit of money. I need to figure out a way with the call-in portion to see if there's a way that we can patch in like everybody, so we can have a back and forth with all of us. I think I know a way. But the problem is, I think I could get like a mixer, audio mixer, or some bullshit. Which at some point I feel like I need to get. This is what most like high end podcasters have, but it's like a few hundred bucks. So like I was holding off. But I mean, if you are my producer, you'd be the one I'd give that to. So you're saying if you didn't have one already. So just throwing that out there. You may get a expensive piece of equipment at some point that you gotta stick with. I see you in the chat, Gray Pill. Hit me up if you're for real serious. We'd love to have you. We can kind of the same way we had Adam, where he would like pull up stuff, and then occasionally, you always also he would bring up stuff in the private chat when we're like clueless about shit. He would like search it real quick. So yeah, there we go. Looks like we found Gray Pill. Hell yeah, dude. Yeah. But all right, well, fuck, that was quick. I was expecting a little bit longer there. But definitely. All right, cool. You can just mind dump that everybody else, because we just within this 2 seconds we found him. Perfect. Okay. Where were we at? Okay, the crazy
probably
world
the
we live
Kamala
in.
Video.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's pull
well,
that
let's,
shit
let's,
up.
I want to run through the sequence of events for the people.
You're right.
Because it is crazy. Because we had the CrowdStrike thing. Yeah. And then I don't know if it was the same day before or after. It was very close in the same amount of time. I caught this it was like right after it came out. There was, I guess, a pre-recorded at the time, but it was supposed to release later. I think it just released not too long ago. Some sort of BET interview that Biden had, everyone had been trying to push him out for a while, and he was very much like, no, I'm not getting out. And then his rhetoric in this one changed ever so slightly, but to me, it was super important. He said, and it was like specific, unless there's like a medical diagnosis. Like that. And I was like, fuck. And then when he said, I'm sick, or I have COVID or whatever, like literally tweeted out on Twitter, fucking I am sick or whatever.
Yeah, I'm sick. Yeah, dude.
And then some intern later was like, fuck, and they put like a Trump shit or whatever the fuck he to like save it. It was a very weird tweet, but either way, and then he was like, oh, he has COVID. And like I at first thought it was a little too absurd for that to be like, oh, that's my medical diagnosis, I gotta get out.
Right.
But then he's shortly after, not seeing him, nothing, he drops out. I don't even know if we could say he drops out. There was a tweet. Sent out with a picture of like with his letterhead or whatever. I know people get caught up on like what specific signature or letterhead or whatever. I don't fucking know. Yeah. I guess that made it a little bit more fishy. But either way, it was literally just a fucking letter, which means nothing to me. Whether it's a certain letterhead or signature or whatever, I don't fucking those are easy to fucking mess with. Yeah. But yeah, it was just like I'm getting out and I'm supporting I'm endorsing Kamala. And then he just continued to disappear and hasn't shown up. He's supposed to show up tomorrow.
Right.
But he's
When's the DNC?
I don't know. I think it's within a couple of weeks or something like that. So that's it's not too soon.
I know they announced that he was going to be there.
Yeah. That's he's going to talk tomorrow. But they technically they didn't say in what form. And we'll bring up this to kind of show you what I mean. Because technically, he actually did already show up. And this is it right here. I don't know what the specific occurrence. I think it was just her, like, Kamala kind of talking to, you know, mention that she's, you know, that she's running or whatever. And that Biden dropped out. Like, she was kind of the one delivering the news. And so that's kind of the context of this conversation. But they brought Biden along in a very peculiar way. And here it is.
It is so good to hear our president's voice. Joe, I know you're still on the call.
First off, the call.
Yeah, dude.
And then watch her demeanor. This is the part that I thought was funny. Like, she goes from like, okay, I got this, to like, oh my God, they're going to kill my family if I don't do this right. Like,
President, her eyes, dude.
Joe, I know you're still on the call, and we've been talking every day. You guys heard it from Doug's voice. She's weird. We love Joe and Jill. Dude. We really do.
Oh my God.
They truly are like family to us.
Oh, and yeah.
Everybody here does.
Oh, yay.
I knew you were still there. You're not going anywhere, Joe.
I'm watching you, kid. I love you.
I love you, Joe.
Which then people went, oh, and okay, you guys can hear the robotic nature of that. I don't know what the explanation for that. It doesn't even sound like something like a phone call thingy. I don't know if, I mean, it doesn't sound like any audio I've heard on Zoom or anything like that. So, but people went and found like AI things and like plugged in. Cause it's funny. A lot of people I saw were like, oh, there's no way AI could, you know, do his mannerisms. And it's like, yeah, they could, like, they easily could. And people proved that. Cause people went into like AI ones, popped in with speeches. Cause the AI will even try to like match your weird mannerisms. Like it's where it clearly is mental failings.
And you know, they could easily have been typing in responses in real time. You know, it's like AI technology is definitely more advanced than most people are aware. Like, that's a certainty. You know what I mean? So it's like that would not be very difficult, especially with, you know, how ridiculous he speaks. And so honestly, they could, and he did sound a little better, to be honest.
He sounded weirdly bizarre, like bizarrely
very
good.
Weird. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think I saw something recently, which I don't know if this was like during this period where they saw him moving somewhere and he looked almost weirdly too spry. I'm not sure if the timing's correct, but also like it kind of made me think of, do you remember, I don't know, maybe it was like a year ago when there was that weird thing where his like hands passed through the boom. And he had a few other weird little isms, and this is like peak COVID, and it literally like, it just seemed uncanny valley. Some of the recordings, it seemed like almost he was in a green screen or something. And so, I don't know, just I love the idea that, for one, the conspiracy that Biden has no hands, but then the conspiracy just that, like, what does no that hands. Mean? Do we have, like, literally have an AI president? Like, do we have, and then every time, I don't know, how would you do the speeches? I mean, I don't know. I mean, is this all just a carefully orchestrated fucking movie and we're just not on that level? I don't think so, but it is it just feels like it sometimes. You're like, Jesus
sometimes
Christ.
I'm telling you, man. Yeah, it really, but I don't know, like, when you hear that, first of all, for anyone to think that they couldn't fake a president, you know, as far as like being, even being dead or just being ill in the first place, as far as like, do you not remember FDR? Yeah. Nobody even knew he was paralyzed. You know what I mean? It's like that, that alone, they've been doing this for forever, right? It's like, this is nothing new. And so, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised at all, but I am definitely, I will say, when I watched that Trump assassination attempt, I really didn't feel like I was living in the real world. Like I really just didn't. It felt just, and I, you know, everybody gets so angry at you for even, you know, considering it. But so much of this feels like political theater. So much of this feels like people are too desperate. They're so desperate to be saved. And I understand. I mean, Jesus, man. When you're doing episodes like what I just did today, it was so emotional, man. Like, and honestly, it's stories like these that really drive home why I don't take things at face value. Mm-hmm. And I will never do that. Not ever again. And so once you've dug deep enough on some of these stories, that veil really does remove. It falls to the wayside. And thank God for that, man. You know, because otherwise you're really running a high risk, you know? And
yeah.
And so I just think it's, yeah,
you know what they're capable of. Like, yes. For one, the depravity, and then also somewhat the complexity. Because one thing people have brought up a lot in, say, and I don't even necessarily buy this, but I have not thrown it out as a possibility because of what I know and the things I've looked into. Like, yeah. I don't lean towards that Trump, you know, orchestrated this, like the assassination attempt and intended to survive. Like,
I don't think he's orchestrating much.
Yeah, or even the deep state did. I don't flippantly dismiss it like everyone else does, like it's ridiculous, because I have dug down. I've read so many goddamn fucking weird old CIA, OSS stuff where you're like, some of the weird shit, them training with magicians. I mean, just RFK assassination is the best example. I think I brought that up last week because it's just
they're all hypnotists.
Yeah, it's literally just like fucking with perception. So it's like, and this is part of why, like, throughout this, I've just been trying to pay attention to little things, but not get sucked into them, because you will find people will be like, oh, I saw some people that, like, said it looked like a handle on the leg of a guy they carried out. And I'm like, I don't know. I'm like, that could just be the way the pants material looked when they picked him up. Yeah. Point being is like, I do think you should, because it's like all it takes is one little thing to throw off your perception, or a few little things, like say, for example, something happens and now you're looking over here. But okay, but what happened over here? It's stuff like that, that like you can fool a nation unless you unless one person catches it and it gets, you know. And the problem is too, and part of this is people do this thing where they go, that's ridiculous, that's insane, like, why would you even think that? And like, it becomes this, oh, that's just insane. Like, you, and so it becomes radioactive to even think along those lines. But I just think people need to remain open to it, because I don't think it's outside the realm of possibilities that that was somehow orchestrated.
No.
I mean, no, like, obviously, I do think Trump would have to be to some extent in on it, because I don't think anyone would actually.
I just really think
shoot him like
his
that.
Ear. There would have been much more severe damage to his ear. I mean, that alone is like.
Well, I read really the medical report, and apparently, and this is going to drive other schizoids like us nuts. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I read the medical report, and it said it was a 2-centimeter wound on his top right ear. 2 centimeters, nothing. And no, like, I don't know if you ever had ear. I've never had my ears pierced. My wife's had gauges. I mean, both my daughters have their ears pierced. I don't know if you had yours. So it's like, that's like, what, maybe a small gauge? I don't know. Yeah. Like, it's like, and ears heal pretty, you know, so it's like, that's going to be a 2-centimeter chunk ripped out of his ear. That is going to be likely indiscernible from a normal ear when it heals.
Right.
Like,
that. There's no fucking way. I gotta see it, man. That's all I'm saying.
But that's actually plausible, because I mean, he just very slightly winged it and only took off a tiny little chunk. But it's like,
right?
You know, that's no more than a little nick, you know?
Right. So. Well, especially, and you already know, man, I mentioned it before, like, you have artificial blood squibs. You have, you know, you actually have, right? Mm-hmm. Like, legitimate technology where the fake prosthetics, where you look at what they're capable of in these emergency preparedness, emergency management, simulations that they run all the time, brother. It's insane. It's like Operation Urban Shield. Let's talk about the Boston bombing again, because it's insane what is possible. You know, so they can trick your eye, and they can, and I'm talking, even some trained eyes are very easily, tricked. And so I think it's really important for people to go read and listen to Dave McGowan and his work on the Boston bombing, because I've never been more just, it didn't feel like I was living in it. Honestly, it made it seem like everything is theater. It really did. Like, it honestly did. And especially when you have like all these ridiculous, you know, crossover threads from other conspiracies like Sandy Hook involved with the Boston bombing, you know, it's like, it gets pretty ridiculous. And then you have just all these like experts who say flat out, they outwardly acknowledge that the way that they were keeping the religious leaders away from the wounded was basically a hallmark of intelligence. And you had intelligence operatives who were like, no, as soon as I saw it, I realized it was a staged op. And so it's just like, my God, once you start to dig into all of that, yeah, you kind of begin to realize that, honestly,
real quick, Dr. 420 in our Rumble live chat said he went no bandage today. He has stitches in it. So,
oh, which, really? I haven't seen.
You know this. What though? If you're going to be schizo, like, you could easily just put stitches in.
Oh yeah, 100%. It's not that hard.
No, I mean, and then like, hell, even if you squish the skin together, then later you'll probably create some minor scarification that you can be like, oh yep, look right here. You know, right. Because you're like kind of forcing it to heal, or to, like, I don't know. It wouldn't be that crazy. Not at all. No,
it would not.
Yeah. Stitching is incredibly easy. Just put a little fucking lidocaine or something in there and you can go to town. It feels like nothing.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It was a former CIA agent, Robert Steele. He says, the Boston bombing for me, the truth teller was when the rabbis and the priests rushed to comfort the wounded, and they were not allowed to get near any of the wounded. That is, in intelligence, what we call an indicator. And then you add to that the fact there were no wounded people taken to hospitals. And finally, you add to that the big to-do about the amputee, which, by the way, remember when, who's that Asian bitch that went on CNN the whole fucking time of COVID, who was just running her mouth talking about the unvaccinated? You remember this? Leanna Nguyen, isn't that her name? Something like that. Leanna Nguyen.
Nguyen or yeah. Wu or some shit.
Something like that. I know that when she was making the rounds and going viral for pissing everyone off that was unvaccinated, there all of a sudden, so did a video from her during the Boston Marathon bombing. And I was just like blown away. To me, it was like op confirmed. Like, it honestly, it really was. It was crazy to see her her interview on live news.
Been in other events CNN, too. Dude. I remember seeing that. Like, I thought I saw her other weird events, but maybe I'm wrong.
I can't remember. Yeah. I don't know. But I certainly was like, wow, they're just reusing this little operative for the next op, you know, which was clearly COVID. But
I don't know if you've been following along, but I meant to, you know, find a natural place to insert this, but. A little bit more information has come out, actually a sizable more information. Apparently, I guess some of the official reasoning is the roof was too hot. Also, I guess these people supposedly that were supposed to be manning that post got pulled off minutes before or something like that. Ken wrote an article on that, for those who are interested, Ken Silva over at Headline. And then also, which you couldn't really tell in the aerial photos we were showing last week, but there were buildings next to him. You know, in a certain sense, this building that was shot, you know, theoretically our Patsy, you know, whatever shot from, that was, you know, the best vantage
point. You see that, dude?
Like angle wise, but say what?
You just look at that kid.
Yeah.
It smells Patsy. Like, fuck, man, it kills me. Go ahead. I'm sorry, buddy.
Yeah, but no, one of the buildings beside it, it was taller, and it was a two-story building with windows that faced it, and that's where Secret Service teams were in there. And so they're like
drinking coffee and shit.
Yeah, they're like less than 50 yards away is what it looks like. So they literally had like could look right at him. It's so nuts. Crazy, like, dude, some of the videos that are coming out now of people – it's something. I mean, apparently I believe it was a sniper team in there, which wasn't Secret Service, but I believe was one of the cops like that was working in conjunction. Mm. I believe, I want to say maybe it was there. I might be wrong, from that other building, or saw him and I guess had them in their sights and took pictures and then like sent it over.
Oh, I saw Ken tweet that. Yeah. That was interesting as hell for sure. Yeah. That was I wonder what the narrative will end up, you know, as far as the conclusion of the narrative, throughout this kind of like investigative process. I'm very curious to see how they kind of, where they fall with the most plausible official account. I'm interested to see. But to that point though, I mean, so an article at We Are Change published July 11th, 2015, Nathaniel Foulkes is a film producer and talent manager who has been in the entertainment industry since 1997, when he worked at Paramount Pictures marketing the blockbuster motion picture Titanic. So in an interview, he claimed that based on his experience as a movie producer, he had become convinced that the Boston bombing wasn't real, but it was something called hyper-reality filmmaking, and that he knows some of the people who were involved. He defined hyper-reality filmmaking as a very common thing you do in the military and can be well-adjusted to a real scene in Iraq or any other kind of war zone. Mm-hmm. In a hyper-reality scene, people can see and feel and help what appears to be a real injured person, but the injured person is actually an amputee crisis actor with help from a makeup artist. Mm-hmm. He claimed what was supposedly live television broadcasting, he knew wasn't. It wasn't live at all, but edited, because in live footage, you don't cut from one scene to the next. He said the TV footage was also using older technology for grainy resolution instead of the HD res available at the time. So Folk says you can see the person who put on the makeup on these people, and refers to a woman in pink with a makeup bag who goes to each victim. She's not helping them. She's putting their makeup on. I'm dead serious though. When you watch those videos, it's like, how did all that blood get there? That doesn't even make sense, and it doesn't even look like blood, and it doesn't even make sense with the people's injuries. Some of the people, they had like their carotid arteries are like, you know, sliced, and they're like getting up and moving, and it's just absolutely ridiculous. So anyone who, I know this all sounds insane, but when you have elaborate photo and video compilations with the use of military-grade moulage, equipped with artificial blood squibs and pump assemblies being applied under residual smoke coverage from the first fucking blast, yeah, you're like, fuck yeah, they could fake and stage the Trump little bitty nick to his stupid-ass ear. Are you crazy?
Yeah.
Are you crazy for calling people dumb for questioning that? I get it if it's ideologically driven. And
yeah, it is, because people can't imagine Trump would, because it, I just don't, I struggle to imagine a scenario in which Trump wouldn't be in on it at that point. Like, how do you make his ear bleed? Because no, like, as everyone goes, oh, you think they shot him? And once again, I don't even necessarily buy this angle, but I'm just saying, if we're going to entertain it, no, that'd be like, I wouldn't even entertain the idea that, oh no, they just had fucking Lon Horiuchi up there, you know, just fucking just perfectly. No, like that'd be retarded. Even with a trades diaper, there's too much of a range of fucking like a zeroing range. You're like, yeah, you could blow his fucking head off and you're completely fuck everything up. The alternative is, unless they're like, hey, we're going to go for a Nick, but if we off him, whatever, we have a plan for that too. I bet you could think that, you know what I mean?
That's true.
Like we work both angles, like either way we win. So
definitely.
Yeah, it depends which storyline we go down, I guess. But I don't buy that. I think it was more like, if we're going to entertain that, it's more like it would have to be a squib or something. And how do you do that without someone knowing that you did that to them? I don't know.
For sure. Like, yeah. I don't think 100%, like, Trump, there's a level of involvement here, right? Like, mm-hmm. My biggest issue is, as far as like, if you're talking about this narrative and this theory that we're considering, but I don't know, man. Like, I honestly just think that, if you're going to, like, the reaction alone is what I had such a knee jerk reaction to myself, was his reaction was so theatrical. That's the part. It's very possible he's just actually like kind of a psychopathic badass in a weird way, and like figured out how to maximize.
That's what I lean towards. Like, I get what you mean, that like it could either be both, because he is the WWE guy. Like, he would be able to do, like, put on an act really good with that. But at the same time, I feel like it's completely compatible with everything we know about him and like the public. Like,
oh yeah.
Like, he is very much like, like that's kind of, and like, he wouldn't be the one to be like a bitch about it. Like, I don't know. He just seems to have that. And I could see myself being a little, I'm not saying I would do it exactly the same, but like, I've always the mentality that the few times in my life I've been in danger, I kind of almost like, my head's more like, I mean, no point in panicking, you know, like what's the point in panicking? Like, usually that's panicking true. Only thing makes things worse. So I don't know. I mean, it's, I do still kind of like lean towards it, because it does seem too hard to pull off, but it's like, I don't let it go, because it's like, that's part of the idea of why it would work, is because people would be like, everyone would be like, there's no way they could pull that off. And like,
if people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
All it may take is a few little, you know, alterations of perception in one way or another, or sleight of hand, and now you're like, you're buying in, and it's unquestionable. So, I mean, I don't know. It's really hard to tell. It also just feels too, I don't know, the more you see the level of Secret Service fuck up, the more you're just like, yeah. I just, even that's almost as unbelievable as...
I don't buy it. The Secret Service, they, you know how they've been just heavily involved in so many of these scandals, where legitimately it's the Secret Service who largely facilitated the JFK assassination. I mean, they strung up that African-American guy, the first African-American Secret Service agent, and like put him into solitary and had him basically abused and tortured because he had the audacity to basically blow the whistle when he realized what was happening in the Chicago plot. And you know, I mean, the Chicago plot, the Florida plot, they had all of this covered. They were going to kill him. And that's why I think like the deep state aspect of all of this, it's hard for me to buy that they actually wanted him dead, because if that were the case, he's going to die. Like, he's going to die, right? It's just a matter of time. You know, like, that's what was going to happen to JFK. They were going to make certain. And so for me, no way that the intelligence apparatus actually wants him dead. I just can't see that at all, because how is he a thorn in their side?
I don't really think he is. I mean, if you look at his previous, although like if we are to say that it was kind of like originally clip him, and like they were kind of like, if we kill him, it is kind of like, that would be like, what does that do after the fact to this guy? Is this like, there's that chance he goes fucking balls to the wall. And is the chance that he goes, oh, fuck. Like, all right. Yes, sir. Okay, definitely. Netanyahu, we're doing this.
Right. Which he was already, in my mind, was probably going to do. Right. Yeah. I mean, when you're saying, calling Biden a bad Palestinian and shit, like, you know, clearly he's like, what we've done wrong in Israel and Gaza is, we need to let him finish.
You know, real quick on the astronomical level of fuck up of on the Secret Service, I just kind of like did think this out in my head, kind of like, I've struggled to believe what the only thing that keeps sucking me into, like, even considering that, like, that the, you know, that it was a, you know, a completely a fake, like a fake assassination plot or whatever, is like that, because it's so fanciful. So such an unmitigated level of fuck up that it's like, but after thinking about it, if it was a fuck up and they did think they were going to kill him, I guess you could think, if you had that kind of energy on your side of the country freaking out, the president died, and now it's like, obviously, you know, the political energy is going to probably sway. And then even on the right, you know, whoever gets in there is going to be establishment man. And now you have this energy that's very much a not question the official narrative, very much more how dare you, you know, they'd be more they'd be able to, you know, synergize that energy a little bit better. Whereas with him surviving, and now it's kind of like, oh shit, now they're on the back foot. So far as like the energy of the nation politically goes, you're like, now you're fucked. I mean, maybe that's the only way I can think of it. Maybe it was just that they, you know, if you're that, you know, gutsy with your fuck up, if you pull it off, it is like, then you're in a spot where you can control the narrative a lot better. But even then, it's just so ridiculous. You're like, dude, what? No fucking way. Man. This is insane. I don't know.
It is fucking insane.
Yeah, but are really we gonna move over to the call-in portion of the show?
Stranger than fiction, my brother.
Oh, for sure. But yeah, we're gonna move over to the call-in portion of the show. I do want to remind you guys about our homies over at, let me if I get the graphic up. I'm slow in the draw right now. Over at Nadeau Shave Co. This quality shit. You can see my beautiful day, face today. It was brought to you by Nadeau Shave Co. All nice and shaved up. If you're tired of that razor burn irritation and the ingrown hair is caused by that nonsense with all those fucking razors, you need to get the Nadeau Shave Co. Big Shave's been psyoping the American people for decades with their expensive multi-blade razor scam. Go back to the traditional shave. Shave like your grandpa used to. Whether you're shaving your whole face or just edging up, this is the good shit. The standard issue includes one traditional safety razor and a box of 100 stainless steel razor blades. $75 allows you to shave for an entire year. Let's be real, though. Unless you're shaving on the reg, that's going to last you a lot longer. And that's just $75. Now, compare that to those cartridges you buy all the time. What, like one of those is like, what, $20-$30 just for like a pack of two or three or four or whatever? But if you shave on the regular, sign up for the Quarter Shave Club, and you'll pay only 25 cents per replacement blade. I'm still waiting. I don't know. I need to hit him up because maybe he didn't actually send me the shave lather. But he has shave lather now too. New shave soap made with French green clay. I look forward to getting that so I can try it out and let you guys know how it is. But yeah, definitely NadeauShaveCo.com. Use Jose at checkout for 10% off your entire order. Don't forget, these guys support us. So if you want to support us in a roundabout way and get something back for it, this is your way to do it. These guys are good shit. COVID mandate refusing company. That's how this company was born. So you know they're good stuff. But all right, let's get back to the show. Here's the number for you guys to call in, 941-281-5857. If you are a patron of me or Austin, as you can also come up as a nice little talking head beside us. And then we'll interact with the chat in the meantime. Let me bring up, I'm having a fucking, here we go. All right. I'm trying to bring up the fucking call thingamajig. Here we go. I usually have it all ready to go. There you go. Boom. All right. Oh, fuck. I fucked up. There you go. All right, guys. Let's get into the call-in, hanging out with the fucking chat. So you're about, I did see this earlier from Trash Man. Either way, that firefighter did get shot.
I saw that, too.
I agree with you. Yeah. No, I think, I mean, I did see someone that, like, was trying to make it out like it was some sort of dummy or something. I don't know. I mean, maybe. I mean, like, what are you, like, that, I don't know. There's too many people there. You see, there's a whole lot of people saying they saw him get shot and stuff. I don't know. I mean, I guess that could have been sleight of hand, but that just seems like an unnecessary level of fucking, if they are doing magic shit, yeah, that'd be an unnecessary level of flexing on us. Just
right.
At that point, you may as well just kill a dude in the fucking stands, yeah, which is what they probably, if you're going to take that right angle, then it makes more sense to go, they just kill the dude in the stands.
Exactly. Yeah. And that alone would trigger a reaction that, you know what I mean? So it's
you can't question it.
Yes. No doubt. And that was my immediate reaction to it. And I understand people.
Got a call coming in. I'll set it up. You keep going.
Cool. I understand people being all gay about the fact that, you know how it is. People died. You can't question this. You can't question this event. That's the implication. So I'm never going to play that game. I'm not trying to insult people's family. I'm not trying to, you know, clearly, I'm not trying to, you know, hurt anyone who's going through a grieving process and experienced a tragedy. I'm not trying to insult them or make them feel any worse. But I think the last thing that most of that family that's dealing with that loss would be as far as paying attention to is people like me who are just concerned about questioning the reality of an event. I mean, come on. That's absolutely ridiculous. And I think it's up to us to be the people to remain skeptical in the moment. And yeah, clearly I'm not trying to insult these people, make them feel any worse, like I said. So just make sure that you realize that obviously anyone's death is typically a tragedy, unless they're this terrible evil monster. But to then say that we aren't allowed to question the event that's just a ridiculous mindset and perspective, and I will never share that. So yeah, it's never going to keep me from questioning an event, because you see, like, clearly what they do, they want us to be, they pretty much want to insulate themselves from any real accountability or any real questioning. And so it's very convenient. That's all I'm saying. Very convenient, yeah. Narrative. But anyway,
right. We got a guest on with us. You're on Already Dead with Jose and Austin. What's up, man? How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. How about you guys?
Doing all right.
Good,
all
brother.
Right. What you got for us?
So just from the Boston bombing and all that stuff, that's fine and all that, all the theories on that. But just from a ballistic standpoint, I've just been hearing a lot of stuff on this Trump assassination thing that just doesn't check out, like the lack of damage to the ear and all that. That's pretty consistent with what you'd see out of any sort of high powered rifle round. It takes a lot of depth. It takes 10, 12, 14 inches of depth of flesh for that round to start tumbling and doing any sort of damage. It's going to look a lot like an ice pick wound through an ear. Like, that's pretty consistent.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I haven't really got a good look at it, so I didn't really question that it could be possibly a bullet. I know a lot of people out there claiming there's no way it could be a bullet or whatever. I think it's perfectly reasonable, but I don't know. I'd have never really been shot in the ear, so who knows?
I'm sorry. I'm having a lot of audio issues on my end.
Oh, that's okay. Can you hear me all right now?
Yep. Okay, that's a little clear.
Yeah. I was just saying that, I don't doubt that it could be a bullet. I mean, actually, I lean towards that it was a bullet. I just, I have seen people out there that make silly claims that, like, it couldn't possibly, I mean, and maybe it's not silly, that it couldn't possibly be a bullet, but I know, seems like it could be to me.
No, I get you.
Yeah.
And it's just, there's been a bunch of them, like how he must have been aiming for the ear, you know, it's like, that'd be an incredible shot.
Oh,
that'd
yeah.
be like the most outstanding shot for of real. All time.
Yeah. Cause he moved the moment before. So it is like, if you were to say the perfect shot, it'd be like, they would have to, like, literally as he moved, then kind of react and move just slightly over.
Right, like I don't know that God himself could have made that shot.
Yeah.
Yep.
It'd be pretty impressive. Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm not going to take up all your time. I really appreciate the show, guys.
Oh, thanks for calling in, man.
Been good.
Sure. Anything else before we let you go?
No, man. Just keep on keeping on, man.
All right. Appreciate it, man. We'll let you
go.
Have a good one.
Take it easy.
All right. Bye. Yeah.
That's a perfectly realistic argument. Like, I have no problem with that argument. You know what I mean? And again, I'm no expert. I'm no ballistics expert. Yeah. I'm no firearms expert. So I have no real frame of reference other than what I see. That's all. I mean, it's like, I'm just basically
223 is fucking tiny, for those who aren't aware. I know everyone thinks ARs, like, ooh, super big gun.
Right.
No, actually, it's like, it's actually just like kind of like a gun that's kind of nice and light, moves well. Carries actually pretty small bullets, you know, comparatively.
Definitely.
It's really the hunting rifles that have the huge bullets. But
So
it does make sense to me that like a .223 could just like in and out, like kind of like literally pierce his ear.
Oh yeah.
Although the way it made it sound in the report to me was like literally almost like it was like an edge. So I don't even know if it'd be like a pierce. So
yeah,
it's like that's why I'm like with a 2 centimeter, like you really wouldn't. I don't know. So
interesting.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe he just got his ears pierced and then got stitched after. I don't know.
And got it. Yeah. I love it.
But yeah, no, it makes sense to me that it could totally be a bullet. Yeah.
Definitely. Don't get me wrong. I'm just like going with my gut mostly, but also making an argument that I feel is perfectly rational, which is that there's plenty of evidence, right?
All right.
That
got 100% another call coming in, but keep going.
Points
I'll
to with you. False flag, you know, manufactured crises. And so that's all. I think that it's very important for us to always remain open-minded to that as a possibility. And otherwise we'll just make the same mistake over again. So I have no real political, you know, like dog in the fight. So for me, it's kind of a lot easier to have these conversations and not get bogged down and over emotional overreactions, you know, and I think that tends to be the case for most people that are plugged into the political spectrum and the paradigm, like they can't seem to just have an open-minded casual conversation considering any of these things without being over emotional and reactive about it and being just closing their mind off to it for the most part. And that alone is a huge mistake, I think. So just keep an open mind, man. That's all I'm saying. Like, and don't condemn others for, you know, having questions, certainly if they're making ridiculous claims and are, you know, acting as if it's a certainty and they're not even open to criticism. Well, then, yeah, that person definitely should deserve a little criticism for that. But yeah, just questioning the event? No, come on. Like, we can't do that to each other, right? That's just absolutely ridiculous. Not in these circles. I mean, so, but all anyway.
Right, we got our other guest. You're on with Jose and Austin on Already Dead. What's up, man?
What's up, guys? I appreciate taking the call, dude.
Hell yeah.
Oh, yeah, man.
What you got
just
for
calling
us?
Calling in to... See if you guys watch the season finale of The Boys on Amazon, like the way it lines up with the shooting and everything. It's pretty wild.
Interesting.
Ooh, I didn't even think of that. This. Yeah. No, I did. I do remember watching it, and like that whole show. I mean, I still like kind of enjoy it, but it does feel just like MAGA, like libtard MAGA cope. And it's
on the line of like, is it AI that's making the show, writing it for us or something like that? Or they like, is it revelation of the method? Like, is it telling us something or is it like leading us to something? Yeah. I don't know.
But, for those who aren't aware, for those who aren't aware, in the season finale of The Boys, spoiler alert for those who are still watching it, there was an assassination attempt but then it like failed. I forget the specifics on how it failed. It was definitely a little bit different, but yeah, they were trying to kill the president. That way the VP could come in and take its place. Although I mean, there's an angle, I don't know. I guess you could say it's kind of reminds you of the Biden thing, but not really. Cause I mean, fuck, he's probably dead for all we know. but I don't know. Just weird. I do remember thinking like, oh wow, this is kind of weird that this plot line happened here, at this time.
No shit, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, all this ruins like watching TV or movies or anything for me, because like now I go back and watch all the stuff that I liked before, and it's like just spotting all the MK Ultra kind of like Mockingbird kind of stuff thrown in there.
All that messaging,
and like
bro.
It's just wild, like how it's in our face this whole time, and like.
I
look into a lot of like the
in that episode, the VP character ends up actually dying at the very end. So it's like, can you imagine if something happens to Kamala? It's like, what the fuck? And she's like very much a Kamala-like character. Like, she's like what Kamala thinks she is in her mind, like that character. Like, composed, smart.
But,
that's so funny. Yeah.
No, but like, I just wanted to say something to Austin, man. I appreciate like all that he's doing and like all that work he puts into his podcast.
Thank you, buddy.
It's so informative, man. And like, it's just... and I'm from like, I'm actually from his area. So like, I'm kind of looking forward to seeing some stuff from like, from Northwest Arkansas, just some movers and shakers there that like, damn dude, like just it's Arkansas. So like Clinton's plugged in there. Like, you know, that, big business and everything like that's all tied in. So like, I want to hear some stuff kind of like from that. And,
awesome.
I don't know. It's just,
dig a little bit into Mena, Arkansas.
Hell yeah, that would be awesome. Honestly, I'm down.
Yeah.
So much, but like, I don't know. Like, what is the best way to contact you guys? Just to kind of chat or whatever?
By the way, just so you know, I'm not sure if you're aware, it's just me and you talking. Austin can hear you, but you can't hear him. So if you want to hear some of the comments he's making when we're talking, you can go watch it back. But to contact us, I mean, I can speak for myself. Twitter is probably the best place to contact me. I mean, I guess if you can probably hit me up in YouTube comments, and I see most of them. I don't reply to all of them because I'm kind of busy and stuff. But
yeah,
Twitter's gonna be the best place for it. Austin, I don't know if you want me to
Twitter
tell you
or
past,
Instagram both.
Yeah, Twitter,
either one.
Twitter or Instagram for him. So he's on both. I don't know about actually on Instagram and on Twitter he has accounts for his podcast and him, so for Austin Picard. So either will work. So you should be able to find him. But yeah,
hit me up, buddy.
Cool, man. Well, I'd say, like, I've been looking into a lot about James Cameron stuff, and, like, dude, his stuff is just, like, I don't know, like, he seems to be in the know and stuff like that. Like, he, I'm watching his show Dark Angel from 2000, and, like, the, all the revelation in there is, it's wild, because it's very, like, current for what we're going through right now. And, like, you can't even, like, stream it anywhere. You have to actually buy the DVDs to watch it, so... Like, I'm a big, like, cinephile. Like, I love watching movies and, like, shows and stuff like that. But, like, like I said, it's kind of ruined it for me. Like, listening to Austin stuff and, like, everybody else's that, you know.
Yeah, so, James Cameron was, what, I won't Titanic, take up too much Avatar, movie. Right? That's that guy, right?
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah. Terminator.
Oh, dude, yeah, Terminator. Everything. Yeah. First and second Terminator, like...
Mm-hmm. Skynet.
The Abyss. Like, it's all just... It feels like some kind of evolution of the method, or, like... Yeah.
Well, definitely,
they're
man.
They're trying to... some kind of psyop or whatever. I'm not sure. Yep. But, like, man, I keep looking, keep watching, and, like, just looking for symbols and stuff, man. It's...
That's the only thing.
Time to get messed with.
It's basically what I do too, buddy.
Well,
I won't take up any more of your time, though.
Well, I appreciate it, man. Definitely calling again some other time. We'll let you go. But yeah, all right.
Yeah,
see you, man.
Guys.
All right, bye.
Later, buddy.
Well, that was fun. That just remind me. Do you ever? God, it still blows my mind that Avatar is like the biggest movie of all time.
Yeah, like, I know, man.
It's like, I mean, don't get me wrong, it's a fun movie, you know, like, mm-hmm. it's okay. I mean, it's basically just Pocahontas rebranded with aliens.
That's all it is. Yeah,
I mean, it's kind of cool looking, but it still blows my mind, because, like, I mean, I mean I'm a big comic book nerd, or I was. I'm not so much as much as I used to be, but I understand, like, Endgame, like mm-hmm. that being, like, huge, because that, like, mm-hmm. almost, I think it was, like, second to Avatar. But it still blows my mind. It's like, what is the angle there? Was that, like, astroturfed? Was that, like, some superhuman, like, or not superhuman, but super duper fucking front operation or laundering that was going on? What the fuck? Like, how did that become the biggest thing? Like, I mean, don't get me wrong. I get it. Like, the visuals were cutting edge for the time.
I think that was the only excuse. Yeah.
But, like, that's it? Like, I don't know. I've never been one to care that much about that sort of shit. Like,
I wasn't,
like, when someone's,
I wasn't
like,
really
look
down
at my 4K TV, I'm like, I don't fucking
care. Yeah. Can your eye even distinguish between, you know, it's like, that really does happen. Like, at least that's what I heard. I don't know if that's actually true, but that, like, basically your eye can't even distinguish between 4K and what came before it. So it's like, okay, you have the newest thing. That's awesome. You know, but yeah,
I have seen certain things, like nature stuff, like when you, or certain, they do look way cooler, but it's not enough for me to even, like, care. I'm like, cool.
Right.
When you watch nature stuff, it looks slightly better for you. Cool.
Yeah. 100%. That's hilarious.
All right, let's roll through this chat, see what else we got here in the meantime. I think I saw someone asking me about the old Tim McVeigh, FBI agent Paul Weissapol, which we've definitely talked about this before. I don't really put much stock in it. I don't know. I just always thought
Strassmeyer was just the biggest smoking gun to focus on of everything. And so, I just know that.
Yeah. That, well, you know what that he's talking about there. There's this guy named Paul Weissapol. That looks very much like McVeigh.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't know.
I just think they would have killed him and like used Jolly West to just make him think that they're not going to do that. Like, honestly, and even then he might not even go to that extent, but it's probably better than the way they treated Jack Ruby. You know what I mean? So it's like, I think that maybe they've refined their techniques to a certain extent. And when it came to McVeigh, they were just like, all right, let's program him MKUltra style to believe that we're going to protect him at the last moment, swap him out, save him. And, you know, you have all that. I will say, you have, like, some insane statements from, I forget that inmate that was incarcerated with McVeigh, that David Paul Hammer or some shit.
Something like that.
And he came out and he said that he didn't believe that McVeigh was dead. And also that David Paul Hammer, he said.
Okay. Well, I remember Paul Hammer said that was one of the people that that said that McVeigh believed he was going, like, he was going to get out of there somehow.
Yeah,
like, now McVeigh, I didn't know if Hammer had actually said that he believed that as well. I just didn't know.
He said that we can't say for sure that McVeigh is dead. That's like basically what he was saying.
Yeah, which and we can't. They immediately got rid of his ashes and like.
It's very strange how that happened.
Stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, fighting against his dad, who's trying to get custody of the body. Yeah, having no autopsy performed, faking out the public and the media with a hearse that didn't have his body, that didn't have the remains. And then, the whole thing is crazy. That lady who's like helping administer what did they use to execute him? But she was witnessing it and said that she saw him still breathing. And that all they did was pull the sheet up and he was still breathing the whole time. And so I don't know.
Yeah. But I like to, I feel like he probably was killed. So, but I mean, I don't know. I guess really the question is how valuable is an asset like that?
That's what I'm saying.
But just because to me, he didn't seem like he would be that.
Nah, I think he was set up to fail in a way. Yeah. Right. Yeah. They left him out to dry is what they did. And I think they did the same with Jim Jones. It's very similar. Mm-hmm. You know, I think there's more of an argument that the guy who was involved in with intelligence who procured the land in Jonestown, I think it's much more likely that he just took some of those people and went and started another, you know, Jonestown type scenario elsewhere. And Jim was just killed. I think that's 100% what happened is that they just, it is possible. I mean, he definitely didn't kill himself, right? I mean, that certainly doesn't, bode well as far as when you look
at the gun that killed him found a good ways away from
him. It's so far away from the body. Yeah, it's ridiculous. But anyway, but I don't think that he was, he had like an MK Ultra code word. I forget what it was. Jones? Jim Jones. Yeah. Yeah. It was like, there's a book on it called like Raven or some shit. And I don't remember. That might not be the name, but I'm pretty sure it is. But anyway, I was unaware of this when I did my episode on Jonestown and when I did the series, but I hadn't read through that book. And so I'm very curious to read through it because I heard that he had like an MK Ultra code word. And so I, you know, not entirely certain what the theory is, but I do think that there might be something there worthwhile. So certainly worth looking into, but I am under the impression at this very moment that Jim Jones was just, he was hung out to dry as well. They executed him and then they terminated the op. That's just what happened. I mean, it got too exposed. Congressman Leo Ryan, it's just, it honestly, it might have even been a ploy to lure him down there in the first place. You know, I'm not even entirely certain. That
if anything, the fact that Paul Weissapol guy looks so much like him is would be enough reason to be like they wouldn't do it. Because if they were gonna keep him alive, I feel like it would be some spook shit where they did fucking plastic surgery and changed his nose or his ears 100%, or something. Man. And like, like enough to where didn't look like the same guy. So like,
exactly.
I don't buy it. I mean,
Howard Hunt, right after the JFK assassination, remember, he goes, he uses his kids for an alibi and his son later is like, yeah, that was bullshit. It's hilarious. He like knew his mom and dad were both in Dallas. And so, anyway, I thought it was insane that after the assassination happened and there were all these eyewitness accounts of people who fit the profile of Howard Hunt and also Dorothy, his wife, she fit a profile that was being described by witnesses in Dallas that day. And anyway, I always found it insane once I was doing the Watergate episodes, like, man, when I was researching that, I stumbled on the fact that after the JFK assassination in Dallas, he went straight home and went to a plastic surgeon and had his ears pinned back because his ears were specifically a part of the description that was that was circulating by eyewitness account. It's very strange, but he was allegedly a point man that was just kind of there overviewing the op, like kind of just kind of there as a control man, a point man, trying to keep people, you know, keep the op running smooth. It's very interesting to hear, honestly. But Tosh Plumlee, who is he's a pilot that very good friends with Barry Seal. All right. Super deeply tied into all of this. He was a pilot. He was the getaway pilot that day and actually flew one of the hit squads into Dallas that day. And he's come out now and he has a lot to say. And he's a source that's very valuable. Right. And anyway, I always thought it was amazing that people act like we don't know the story. That's all, you know, it's like, my God.
You know what my theory is? I think that if McVeigh is still alive, he's one of Biden's body doubles. You know, there's always all those photos of a different Biden. He's one of them. Yeah, because he does kind of look like if you aged up McVeigh and gave him some plastic surgery, some weird shit. Yeah, that you could make him fit it. There you go. I think we know that. That's more likely, in my opinion, than Paul Weissapal being it.
Yeah, for sure.
Which, by the way, our homie, God, what's his name? He's way back down there. The Dr. Corbos, he said that he joined the same year that supposedly he died.
Oh, that is interesting.
Which, I mean, yeah, that is interesting. Interesting timing. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I guess like I wouldn't be like astounded if that ended up being the case. I'll say that. Yeah. I wouldn't be like, because there is a lot to suggest that he at the very least believed. I just think that's a huge hurdle between they actually did.
Yeah, so, for sure.
But who knows? I mean, who fucking knows? Maybe they did hook him up. I just don't. From like reading Aberration and like all the details we know, he did not seem to be like he didn't even seem to be at the level of like essential to an op to the extent of maybe like a Roger Moore or a Strassmeyer.
No.
He just seemed to be kind of essentially the patsy. Now, if you do want to take the sheep dipped route that he was, you know, like part of an op of some sort doing stuff.
I definitely it's still like
he
that.
Still would be a lower tier on that, in my opinion. He's like kind of like when the lower level guys are like, well, fuck, we got to burn somebody. Gets a tier,
exactly. Exactly. Yep. 100%. Get jolly, man. We need Tim not to run his mouth. That's 100%. I mean, like, at least for me, I'm very convinced that that's probably the case. And mainly because Tim was running his mouth already, which is why we have the sheep dipped angle that we can point to all the time, because what he's telling his family, you know, what he told to his grandpa, what that letter, I mean, it's the whole thing is that to me,
yeah,
I bought that when, I mean, it sounded like he realized he made a mistake, but there was no turning back. That's really what it felt like, man.
Yeah, if you read Aberration and you do take, if you're reading it from the perception of this guy is like, you know, a full on like sheep dipped operative of some sort, you kind of like, shit, it's kind of a tragic story.
Yeah.
Because he seemed like kind of a young, dumb, and full of cum guy that was like, you know, hoorah, I'm going to join the military. You know, my life's not going well. You know, because he was a really smart kid, but didn't really seem to take off, saw war. He had aspirations for special forces. I think war kind of, you know, made his mind a little bit hazy. He went to special forces. They said, hey, we're going to take this super secret thing. And
he ran security for a general, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That was during in the war. Yeah. Well, yeah. I forget the specifics. He was like Carter's detail or something. I think it was when he was at some area. I forget at some crucial point of that whole war or skirmish or whatever.
Yeah. I remember.
He was just happened to be in the security detail for that thing, but he was doing other shit in the meantime.
Really?
I think it was like something because he was distinguished or something himself. I forget. But
definitely didn't vibe with the washing out of special forces training narrative, though.
Yeah.
You know, like it just didn't. Them saying that, oh, his feet hurt because he's been in the desert.
I will tell you, that's actually legit. People like, because they, in special forces training, they do tons and tons of rucking. And lots of cardio, and like one of the things that will fuck you up more than anything is like bad feet.
I would imagine
if he did came back from war with bad feet, that could really fuck him up.
So, I know. I just the narrative for McVeigh,
does sound ridiculous.
It sounds so stupid. It's hilarious.
Yeah, and frankly, honestly, he was probably in shit physical condition coming back from war.
Yeah.
So like probably. Supposedly his feet were fucked up, and he even said he wasn't in the ideal physical condition, which he wasn't. Because he came, I don't remember the time frame, but like he clearly had not been training like he probably should have been for that sort of thing. So it's believable that he failed. Most people fail that sort of shit. So like it's completely believable.
But then he tells his sister that actually, yes. His name was called out among few others who were chosen. Or a social security.
And he also told Hammer that, and then his first attorneys.
It's a little hard to push back on that one. I think always there was another
person, but I forget who's his mom. I think he told as well.
I know they were seriously surveilling his mom and sister and family right after all of this blew up. I just remember them being so upset and speaking loudly about how they were being just abused by law enforcement. I thought it was very interesting.
They threatened Jennifer McVeigh, his sister, with they alluded to the fact that she could be charged with treason and killed. But didn't tell them that like that only applies, I think, in like wartime or something, you can only use it at a specific time, and it was not at all applicable. But they were heavily, I don't think they directly said it, but they did lots of things to deceive her, to make her think that was the case, to heavily imply. And that's what got her to break down and kind of like turn a little bit.
That makes sense. She
was going to fucking die.
Yeah. In the story I just did, they frame up Colin Wallace, who's like a military intelligence officer who was running psychological operations, dude. And he had discovered, he had discovered Kinkora was being utilized as a child brothel that's state sponsored, but also by MI6. But also he discovered this young boy, this 10-year-old boy who had been murdered, named Brian McDermott. All right. And dude, he wrote up a report. He was addressing his superiors, and there were very major consequences for him immediately afterward. And what they did was frame him for a murder he never committed and was later acquitted and completely quashed after serving 8 years, being convicted because just complete and total lack of any real justice being done. The story is so insane, brother, because he gets out of prison and he immediately gets back to what he was doing before, which is trying to expose the state for what they were responsible for during, this time in Northern Ireland. But anyway, very interesting story, because Colin Wallace is like he's been dubbed the man who knew too much,
I got Fire Pixie just here. It says, what do you think the real reason they killed Kenneth Trinity? Was it just because they thought it was John Doe number two? The John Doe two is like kind of a misnomer, because a lot of people think Richard, in my opinion at least, a lot of people think think Richard Lee Guthrie was John Doe too. Now whether he was or not, I think that he likely, my opinion, if I had to guess, I think he was likely killed because he's a damn near dead ringer for Kenneth.
The tattoo alone, brother.
Yep.
It's like you read that
he died within like weeks of that too. So it was almost like, fuck. And then they found out, like, oh shit, this wasn't the guy.
Yeah, they fucked up. Exactly. And wasn't Guthrie like saying he was going to tell all on shit and right before he died too? Yeah.
Yep,
and basically. That's what I thought. Yeah. That's crazy, man.
Hanging in his fucking, in his cell.
Oh my God. It's so fucked up.
Very much lacked creativity during life.
Oh yeah, dude.
Yeah. Kenneth was found hanging. One of the people who heard Kenneth being tortured was found hanging. Yeah. Richard Lee Guthrie found hanging.
Mm-hmm.
And then they mix it up a little bit with the whole Kenneth Trinity. One of the inmates who heard him died of a drug OD. So there you go. They switch it up a little bit. What, Shauna T. Farrens, one of the strippers who saw McVeigh, she died of a drug overdose, which, I don't know, strippers live fast lives.
Hey,
you know,
convenient.
And that's how this game is played. Was it the church committee that I posted something about this a while ago, where forget what they call them, but they like kind of in the church committee thing, there was like a memo from one of the people which is going over their assassination methods and how they,
oh yeah,
it's just like in the doctrine that like, was it like a termination with prejudice is what they called it. yeah.
Bastards.
And yeah. They went over how like you tried to make it look natural or you put it in a way that no one could figure it out or, you know, they go these things and then they go into how they have fucking, they have things that will give you people heart attacks and ways to administrate just by like if you touch somewhere then it'll get like kind of subdermally I think in your skin and it will give
basically
you
basically like
later.
Nicotine patches yeah I've
and then they also have I forget the name of it but they also have stuff that will cause fast acting cancers
Jack Ruby by the way yeah and there's a lot of smoke there from like you know people who knew him personally. You know, and they were saying that no, that's what happened to him. He was legitimately given a fast acting cancer, and he was murdered. So, I could see that because they basically made him suffer not a permanent bout, not temporary, a permanent bout of insanity. Right when he was going to actually talk, and I think that's basically always the case. It's just like this McKeague guy and John McKeague, who's just a paramilitary terrorist guy who's like a pedophile in this network that I'm reading about. You know, as soon as he gets the Epstein treatment, man, as soon as he's willing to name names to the prosecution, the motherfucker gets murdered. You know, yeah. So it's just like that is the name of the game, guys. It's the playbook, pattern recognition.
Yeah. I'm on the fence whether we'll see it or not because it just seems like the cat's so fucking out of the bag. But I'm wondering if we'll start seeing people dropping here soon. That's one thing I think people need to keep an eye out is when odd people start dying. Like, for example, that fucking one of the first day, that guy with the red hair with the MAGA hat. I think it was one of those fake hats with fake hair too.
Right.
You know, the big poofy hairs. That guy was talking about, you know, I believe something. Was he talking about a second shooter, I believe? Now, that would be the kind of thing where, like, oh, that guy could fucking die. But I mean, although I guess I don't know if that guy knows much more. I feel like it'd be kind of stupid to kill him at this point. Right. I don't know. They may not kill anybody with this one, but I just think people should keep an eye out. I mean, history rhymes. I mean, yesterday, Tanya was sharing something that Josh Hawley was posting about how the FBI was trying to kick him out of there. I mean, that could just be for political reasons. He's trying to make himself seem cool. But either way, it just kind of reminds me of old Terry and how he tried to go back down to the site and they told him to fuck off.
Dude.
So
that's such a crazy story.
Yep. Yeah, they do that. They manage those crime scenes like that and no one else.
I want to know so bad what he was going down there for.
Yeah, that's
what it kills me, brother. Yeah. It kills me.
Yeah. But
I don't know. Didn't she allude to something, by the way, that in a tweet recently about that Terry had seen like some military grade shit or something?
That I recall.
Okay. I might be wrong. I really think that I just read it today or some shit. Maybe yesterday or last night. Not sure, but yeah. I might be wrong on that. But definitely like blows my mind though. And when I heard her tell that story and like, I never forgot that one. I might've even clipped that for my episode on the Tale of Two Suicides, like with Terry and Kenneth, you know?
Well, all right, let's get out of here. We're at a good point. Everybody. I think this show vibed well today. We're at a good spot where I think we hit a lot of the shit. You want to let people know where they can find you at, and we'll be back with you next week. We need to find a guest in the meantime. I don't know who. We'll figure it out. Let's know. Let's know in the chat. Who do you want? Who do you want for next week? I'll see if I can make it happen. But let people know where they can find you, bud.
Hell yeah. All right. Well, now you guys can subscribe to my YouTube. So go hit that up at the Underclass Podcast on YouTube. And then just follow me on Instagram at the Underclass Podcast, on Twitter at Underclass Pod. You can support me on Buzzsprout and Patreon. Both are at the Underclass Podcast. And check out my most recent episode. Like I said, I get a little emotional on that one, but it was a dark one, man. You know, but I think that these stories are just, I have absolutely no right to complain after reading about what some of these people endured. So check it out. I think it's just something that is very worthwhile, and it will help remove that veil. So anyway, that's it, buddy.
All right. Hell yeah. Guys, make sure to follow me on my all my channels, No Way Jose on YouTube, all the major odd packages, Rumble as well. Follow me on Twitter at Tower Gang Jose. If you want to support me, patreon.com, just No Way Jose 2020. Lowest level's $2. I get to see the early stuff. It allows you to see all my content about roughly a week early. And then there's live streams. It allows you to come in as a talking head alongside me and this beautiful bastard I have next to me. And I also read off my sponsors. That's my highest level every episode. Do you give a big shout out to them? I have my co-host on Tower Gang at Tower Gang Toad. I have at Abrogate D's at Zoveracks. At underscore infinite zeal, Jacob Daniel of the Biblical Anarchy podcast. Follow him at Biblical Anarchy. Then Tim Tuttle at Jolion Klebold. I have Thursday, we had a Sandy Hook episode will be dropping. If you're a patron, you already got it. But otherwise, I'm just warning you guys because that will not be on YouTube. That will only be on Rumble and on the audio podcatchers because for obvious reasons. Actually, I didn't say it was for Schmandy Schmuck. and then also, I do want to give a big shout out to my other sponsor, Will Bell over at Rabbit Eye Blueberry Wine. This is delicious stuff. I went through my whole case way too fucking quickly a long time ago. I need to get some more or not. I probably should stay away from alcohol. But if you do like alcohol and you like delicious alcohol, go check it out. You can get it online. But with that, guys, make sure to like, share, subscribe, comment, all that good stuff. Go fucking subscribe to Austin's YouTube channel. Let's get that bitch monetized, and then we can do super chats. But yeah, we can put some money in Austin's pocket. But yeah, all right, we're out of here. Bye bye.